I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Mike Lynch.
What's going on? This is Rashad.
This is the Sports Sunday Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. It is now brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Fire up for pro football.
That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
This is Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad.
Wouldn't kill you. We play some competitive sports once in a while, wouldn't it?
Oh, would that make you love me?
Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Hour 2 of 2 here on Football Sunday. We got lots of NFL to get to here in this hour. If you missed any of our first hour, we talked about Oregon winning in the Pac-12 championship game to make the Rose Bowl. And we talked about the college football playoff rankings coming out, as well as some fantasy scramble stuff. It'll be posted on the Les Schwab Tires podcast after the show. We didn't get a chance to do any of our hot NFL picks. Just quickly, the two that I took today, I took Baltimore -6 against the Bills, and I took Seattle +1 against the Rams.
I didn't even look, to be honest.
Those were my two picks. Well, that's okay. I know you're. That's not totally your thing. That's why I was just giving the picks quickly. was able to I already made those picks on Thursday, so they're okay. In my phone. They're ready to go.
Honestly, we totally forgot to do that as far as look at the spreads.
We got derailed by college football playoff and Oregon talk and fantasy. It's okay. Those are my picks, and hopefully they work out for me. And if any of you did them the same, then hopefully they work out for you as well. Let's get into the NFL, and I want to start by apologizing, repenting, confessing my sins in the fact that I believe that Lamar Jackson was going to be a total bust in the NFL. I should have known better because I watched Lamar Jackson quite a bit at Louisville. And as much as I watched him and saw that he could throw the football, I also, in the NFL, watching his very early stuff, went, he can't throw the football. But for some reason, I forgot that I watched him throw the football quite effectively at Louisville, granted to a lot of open receivers, but still, he had a nice spiral. He wasn't incapable of throwing the football. And I forgot about that. And then I didn't put into consideration that, well, he didn't start right away, right? He was drafted last pick in the first round. The Ravens traded up to get him, and he was going to sit behind Joe Flacco and get himself some time. I didn't take that into account. I just thought, well, it'll take time. He'll get a little bit better, but he's going to be a gimmicky player. I mean, man, scouts were saying he should be a wide receiver, not a quarterback, right? I bought in too much into that as well. And I have been very, 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 very wrong about Lamar Jackson. Now, throughout this season, as he was performing the way he was performing, I kind of felt like this is great, but where is the wall going to hit? Because at some point, even for the best young quarterbacks, there's a little bit of a wall. You kind of get, you're like, oh, crap, I got to learn how to play in this really, really difficult NFL, right? They're pressuring me constantly, and it's really, really tough. And it didn't happen, or it has yet to happen, I should say. And I thought it was going to come with him throwing the football, and that's yet to happen. Now, he's thrown picks, right? He's not the perfect passer, but he's a good enough passer that it keeps teams off of his legs consistently, and he's good enough with his legs that even when they're on it, he can't get tackled. Week by week, I'm becoming more and more in love with Lamar Jackson as a quarterback in the NFL. So I apologize. I was wrong. Lamar Jackson is very good. He will likely win the MVP this year over Russell Wilson. And he's Mike Vick, but better, because he throws better than Mike Vick did. And I think that if he keeps this up and he gets to be a more useful or more accurate or more consistent, more frequent, whatever you want to say, passer, you might even start to see Steve Young comparisons come in for him, which, look, that might be saying a lot too early. But in terms of just his ability to dominate the game both ways, I mean, it's incredible. He's been absolutely incredible, and the Ravens are a joy to watch, and they are damn near unstoppable when they're going. I remember watching their game against the Rams a couple weeks ago. The Rams tried everything, and the Ravens scored on almost every single drive. It was insanity. So, bravo, John Harbaugh. Bravo, Ozzie Newsome, GM. And bravo, Lamar Jackson, for proving me very, very wrong. And a lot of other sports people who were kind of on the Lamar Jackson's going to stink train. He has been incredible. Really, really good.
Here's a guy that, coming out of college, sophomore year, throws 30 touchdowns, runs for 21 of them, throws 9 picks, wins the Heisman. His second year, throws for more yards, fewer touchdowns, and threw one more interception than he would have. Had more rushing yards, had 3 less touchdowns than he did the year before. This dude that got better as far as being an athlete and being a quarterback his second year, his third year as opposed to his second year. Then he goes, when he was getting ready for the draft, I looked at some of you guys and said, you people are crazy. If you think this dude should go to the NFL.
What do you mean, you people?
Oh, yeah, you people. You people that thought that this guy should abandon everything that he's worked for and worked towards his entire career as a quarterback and say that he should be a receiver. This isn't Eric Crouch, somebody who couldn't throw the ball. This isn't, you know, this isn't Tim Tebow with the weird jump pass and stuff like that, man. This guy did everything he was supposed to do to be a starting quarterback. And then he came out, and first year, didn't they go to the playoffs? Didn't Baltimore go to the playoffs last year?
Yes. He came in
to the Chargers.
They lost the Chargers. So
middle of the year he came in.
So here's a guy who couldn't throw the ball. It took over for Flacco, who at one point had multiple 5,000-yard, you know, or seasons or something stupid like that, like in a row. Like Flacco, as good as, you know, we don't think he was, at a point Joe Flacco was a very good quarterback. Was never elite, but was a very good quarterback. Came in and took over for Flacco for a team that seemingly looked like they were down and out. Last year when Lamar Jackson took over for the Ravens, they weren't a great team. They had a pretty good defense, but they weren't a good team. Lamar Jackson comes in and takes them all the way to the playoffs. But no, he can't throw the ball. The first game of the season, he went out there and threw for like 400 yards or something like that, and then has just never looked back. Like, here's somebody that's done everything he was supposed to do and has a great coach in place. He has a great defense in place. He has a good offensive line in place. They end up getting a good, what we kind of considered a castaway of a running back. And what do you know, man, this Ravens team looks scary. Honestly, if there was a team that's going to dethrone the Patriots and become the team moving forward for the next 10 years in the AFC, you tell me a team that's right now, that's currently as it's put together, that's better than the Ravens.
In the AFC, there's nobody.
You can't think of anybody. I mean, granted, now
the Chiefs you could say the Chiefs.
The Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, who is just a wizard as far as what he's able to do. When he's healthy.
Who's basically chopped liver this year because of how well Jackson's been playing. No, everyone's
Mahomes, 50 touchdowns your second year. Like, what does that mean? What have you done for me lately type thing. So we can't forget about how good Patrick Mahomes is, because this time last year, everybody was on the bandwagon. You know, no look passes in football. So who does that? We were all on the Mahomes bandwagon. So the cold part about that is, as high as you get, you know, the fall eventually comes if you're not great all the time. You know, so we've seen great quarterbacks come out for a year and just light the world on fire. You know, the question is he going to be able to sustain it? And considering the way he's playing, I don't know if there's a more unique run game in football than what the Ravens can offer.
Oh, for sure not. And it's the college style working in the NFL, which I think most people thought would never happen, right? It's a lot of zone read runs. It's a lot of run pass options. It's a lot of multiple looks. And we've seen it at times and it's struggled. But I think there's been a lot of times that we have just thought, it's not going to work long term. The only thing that will give me concern, and it's the same with every single quarterback that's been like Lamar Jackson in the past, is he might get really hurt.
Yeah.
Because he does get hit hard. Now, he's good about avoiding hits. He's better than Cam Newton ever was at avoiding hits. But I've still seen him get hit pretty hard as he's out there as a runner, because he's just a runner. That's okay. It happens. That is my only concern moving forward. I'd like to see him still get a little bit better as a passer, but he's good enough. And that's what matters, especially because the strength of his game is his legs. They're such a joy to watch. It's just fun. The Ravens are fun. And it's been a while since the Ravens offense has been fun, I think. Now think about it this way. Now I know they're going to have a lower draft pick because they're going to be good, but they don't really have great receivers, right? You've got Hollywood Brown, but he's kind of a one-trick pony, really, really fast, deep threat. Willie Snead hasn't been the same. He's good, consistent, fine. Mark Andrews is probably your best receiver, your tight end. Think about drafting a really good number one receiver or in free agency signing one to go along with Lamar Jackson. Think about that. Think about how much better that would make the Ravens offensively if they had a true number one receiver. They could do that this offseason.
No, yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're not just the best team. They're the best team with a better player.
And at that point, I mean, Baltimore's never really been a place offensively, you know, that a lot of stars have wanted to really go to. You know, I think Steve Smith went there for a little bit and played in Baltimore. But for the most part, I can't really think of a lot of, man, great offensive stars wanting to say, yeah, let's go play in cold Baltimore. But if you got a guy like Lamar Jackson and you got a guy like John Harbaugh and you've got some of those guys on defense, it'd be really tough to not look at that offense and say, hell, I can fit in here just fine. You know, especially if you're talking free agency and they're willing to throw some money at somebody, man.
Now, you're not going to get all the touches that another team would give
you.
No,
you're not. You're not. But you are going to have opportunities to make, man, huge plays with a guy with a really, really big arm, but just seemingly no real weapons, you know, outside of Hollywood Brown. So it's just – It's one of those things. I think the Ravens are set up perfectly to really be the team of the AFC moving forward. Everybody thinks it's the Chiefs, and rightfully so. It's hard to argue with that. You know, it's hard to argue with a guy like Mahomes and Andy Reid. But I mean, when you look at the Chiefs, they don't have as complete of a team as the Ravens do. They don't. They don't have the run game that the Ravens have. They don't have the defense that the Ravens have. They have better head coach, quite possibly, Andy Reid, than John Harbaugh. But hell, John Harbaugh's done something Andy Reid hasn't, and he's beaten Belichick in the playoffs when it matters for a championship. So,
well, as long as you have, I mean, John Harbaugh is one of the more underrated coaches in the NFL. You think about, like, at the end of Joe Flacco's tenure, when he just doesn't have anything left in the tank, what are they talking about in Baltimore? Maybe it's time to move on from Harbaugh. What do? They go out, they get a guy that doesn't fit what Harbaugh does offensively, what that team does offensively, outside the fact that the Ravens have always loved running the ball. That's one thing that fit into what Jackson does. But he went out, he got himself a future, and then he said, you know what, this future's not going to work in what we do right now. He went out and found an offensive mind that made Colin Kaepernick what Colin Kaepernick was, and Colin Kaepernick isn't nearly as good of a quarterback as what Lamar Jackson is and could be. And then you go, you know what? You made Colin Kaepernick a Pro Bowl caliber guy. You got him to a Super Bowl, you know, let's do that, Greg Roman. And so Greg Roman comes in, makes the adjustments. Next thing you know, yeah, you, with Harbaugh, you're always going to have the defense. You're always going to have the running game. And the one thing that's great about Lamar Jackson, he's already making his receivers better. And it's not because of the way that other quarterbacks make the receivers better and they know what the matchups are before the snap even takes place. But he does it based on his innate ability to make linebackers go and cornerbacks go, what's he doing with his legs, which creates just enough separation to get the open receivers he needs. And those receivers are wide open all the time. You did invest in it. You went and got Hollywood Brown. And I don't agree he's just a one-trick pony. A lot of his damage has been done on slant routes and that kind of stuff. He does a lot of underneath work. And then you also invested in a guy in Trevon Boykin who has a lot of upside. He's a rookie. He hasn't played much this year, but I think that's the guy that they're really going to want on the outside. And we saw what they do with the tight ends. It's just he's got so many things going on. This team is set up, and it's so young. There's a lot of a youth there, and they're set up to basically go, let's invest back in our defense again, and then it's going to be a rocking defense again.
Well, their defense is already pretty good, too.
Yeah, well, they went and got Marcus Peters, and all of a sudden they're like, we get an opportunistic guy that's going to get us a pick a game, and whew, yeah, no, that defense looks good now.
All right, we got a break. Coming up next, let's dive into the Seahawks. Are they as good as their record indicates? But apologies to Lamar Jackson. I was wrong. You're a lot of fun to watch. You're likely the MVP.
That's really nice of you.
Keep doing you. Keep doing you. All right. Seahawks, are they as good? Next on The Fan.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
That was a short break. Woo!
Right?
All right, we're back. let's talk some Seahawks here as they got Sunday Night Football tonight against the LA Rams. And Seattle has been one of the best teams in the NFL.
They have.
They are tied for first with the Niners, technically in first at the moment, but same record, 10-2 with the Niners, who are currently tied at 7 with the Saints in a very good early window game, by the way. But the question I have, and it's in some ways due to the point differential, in some ways just watching almost every Seahawks game this year, are the Seahawks as good as their 10-2 record indicates? I think the answer is no. I think Russell Wilson is as good as the 10-2 record indicates. I think he has been the sole reason they are 10-2. But, and this is not new. This has been a thing the Seahawks have always done. But they play close games. They play up to their competition. They play down to their competition. And they don't often look as dominant as I think they should based on the talent that they have on the field. Offensively, you've got... I don't want to put a number to it, but one of the better running backs in the league in Chris Carson and a good running game in general. You do have a top three quarterback in the NFL right now, top four quarterback in Russell Wilson. You've got Tyler Lockett, who is an incredible wide receiver. You've got DK Metcalf, although with the drop issues, has looked like a very good wide receiver. And, oh, don't forget, you got Josh Gordon now as your number three. No matter who you put at the tight end position, they succeed. The latest of which is Oregon native Jacob Hollister, who has been succeeding up there and replaced. He's like their third or fourth string tight end who's still catching passes. You go and get Jadeveon Clowney. He's been great this year. But part of me watching them just goes, man, you should be better. Like winning games by more, being more dominant. The Vikings game was a great comeback, right? Minnesota looked good in the first half, and you smoked them in the second half. It was touchdown, great defensive stop, touchdown, great defensive stop. You punted, but then got a turnover on the punt, and it was just like, it was perfect, right? It was a really, really good second half. The Eagles game was ugly, 17-9. You won it, but it was ugly. Obviously, you beat the Niners, which was a huge win, 1-3. I'm not discounting that as a close win or anything. Buccaneers game, close game, win by 6. Falcons game, close game, win by 7. Barely beat the Bengals early in the year. Barely beat the Steelers early in the year. Barely beat the Browns midway through the season. They always do this, but for a team that's 10-2 and that I think a lot of people are viewing as a top team in the NFC, I'm just a little bit nervous that when you consistently play good teams, which is what will happen in the playoffs, it will come back to bite you. So, yes, the Seahawks are good. Yes, Russell Wilson is an MVP candidate, although I think he has been usurped by Lamar Jackson as the favorite. I just wish they were better. They looked better, I should say. I wish they looked better.
See, I don't know. I think this goes to show Russell Wilson's brilliance, to be honest. More than anything, you're seeing exactly how good this guy is and really where the holes are on the rest of his team. You finally got a good run game, the best run game you've had since Beast Mode. So that's good. You know, Carson has been a really, really positive part of the offense. And I don't think people thought that was going to – I think it was Rashad Penny was supposed to be the guy. But who knew it would be Chris Carson? And he's played really well in that spot as the number one guy. But then you mentioned the hodgepodge of tight ends that they've been able to have over the past little bit. Just anybody you throw in there is going to kind of work out. You mentioned the fact that they finally got a number two, you know, or number one because – first, they didn't really have one, and then Lockett, now he's down. Or Lockett's still hurt? Lockett's out?
No, he played last week. He just didn't get a catch.
So Lockett was out
He's sick, I think, right? Doesn't he have the flu? Isn't that why he was
He just wanted to go home and be in bed, according to his post game.
Oh, yeah,
I get it. Okay.
Well, he had the flu.
Yeah. Cool, man. So, yeah, so Lockett.
Cool, and man. You had the flu, so yeah, cool.
You had DK Metcalf, who's, you know, turning into a stud, but still really green and still has a lot to learn at that point. And then Josh Gordon, who's Josh Gordon, and we just don't know how long he's going to be able to be there and not be Josh Gordon.
Well, he hasn't really made a huge impact yet.
He does, you know, and that's kind of my, you know, issue. You know, Jadeveon Clowney has been one of those guys for years that we've said, man, much like you were talking about the whole Seahawks, man, you should be better. Like, the fact that you're as big as you are, as strong and fast, like, you should be way better than, you know, you are. And this defense still isn't the Legion of Boom. This still isn't that good. But yet and still, man, here they are. In the NFC, which is the, let's be honest, is the tough division in football, the NFC, and the NFC West, which is the hardest division in football. And here's the guy that just keeps running through it. Every year there's a new team from the NFC West that seems to be at the top of the mountain. Last year is the Rams. A couple of years before that, it was the Seahawks. Then before that, it was the 49ers. But Russell Wilson is the only common denominator in all those. He's the one that's been there through all that, and he just continues to win. This team should not be 10-2. Let's just be real.
They should not.
This team should not be 10-2.
They should be like 8-5.
They should have. They should have lost that game against Pittsburgh. Probably. They probably should have lost that game against the Bengals. They probably should have lost that game against the Browns. But for whatever reason, number three just continues to push them forward. So I get, like, everybody is in love with Lamar Jackson, rightfully so. You know, he's, for what he's been able to do on the ground and through the air. But at the end of the day, man, are you betting against Russell Wilson? Like, he's gotten to, I think for me, he's gotten to a point to where, man, he's, that's as safe a bet as you're going to get, is betting on Russell Wilson to win. He's, I mean, really, Wilson, Brady, like, outside, I'm not betting against them dudes. They just keep proving you wrong every single time. You think they're down and out, they shouldn't do anything. The Seahawks weren't supposed to be in the playoffs last year. There they were. They weren't supposed to be in the playoffs the year the Legion of Boom blew up. Man, there they were. Like, they, it just kind of keeps,
frankly,
happening.
They probably weren't supposed to be in the playoffs this year either.
But yet and still, 3 weeks to the end of the season, and here we are. We're talking about Seattle Seahawks being 10-2. There's, what, four 10-2 teams? Five 10-2 teams in the league right now? And they're one of them? That's crazy to me, considering that of all those five 10-2 teams, which are the Saints and the Pats and
it's Pats, the Ravens, Saints, Ravens, Seahawks, Niners, yeah.
The Seahawks are easily the worst of those five teams. Right now, I mean, granted, the Patriots,
doesn't that worry you, though?
It does. But at the same time, it's just kind of one of those things that this is why I would give him most valuable player, because without Russell Wilson on that field, this is not happening. This is a top five pick in the draft type of team. This is how bad they are if Russell Wilson isn't there.
The Seahawks are the quintessential team that plays down to their competition and plays up to their competition. Like, any given Sunday, they will let any team hang around, and they will hang around with any team. And when you have Russell Wilson on your team, that also gives you the ability to win any game, any Sunday. The problem is when you get to the playoffs and you're letting teams hang around, that's when that style of play doesn't work anymore, because in the playoffs you have teams that you're not going to be able to just let them hang around week after week after week. We've seen this with teams like, I don't know, the Colts and Peyton Manning, when they had that killer offense but no defense, and you finally get in the cold and you get into the playoffs and you face a really good defense week after week, and eventually your offense sputters and you fail. And so that's where I think the Seahawks are set up to fail, is mentally they just love to play whatever level of competition their competition is.
But I think the Seahawks have the two of the most important aspects that any team needs. If you're going down your checklist, man, for the most part, outside of maybe a couple, you have better coaching than everybody else. Check. Outside of everybody else in the NFC, you have the best coach in the NFC. Check. You can check both of those things off.
One of them, yeah.
Who's a better NFC?
Sean Payton.
You think he's a better coach than? Because I think Sean Payton has an amazing group of talent on his team that's been, and last year had a pretty good defense.
I think it's close, but I think Sean Payton's a better coach. Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and give it to, because we've seen the Saints have some pretty bad seasons, right? We've seen them have some down seasons. We've never seen Pete Carroll have a losing season, never once, in the same conference. So I'm going to go ahead and say Pete Carroll is the better coach. And then you have the best quarterback in the NFC.
Well, he did have a 7-9 season, but he made it to the Super Bowl that year. I mean, not the Super Bowl, but the playoffs.
Yeah.
winning season. You know, you make it to the playoffs, that's a winning season in my book. So I don't know. I think Russell Wilson, and we're so used to seeing him win at this point, and he won so early in his career to where everything now is like, you know, I mean, 10-2, like, and we're talking about, are they as good as 10-2? Like, I think that kind of goes to show. And I'm not a Seahawks fan by any stretch. You know, I can't stand Seahawks fans. Some of you guys are cool. But other than that, man, it's one of those things, man. Like, Seahawks irritate me. But this dude, number three, is so much fun to watch.
Some texts on the Better You Today text line 55305. The Seahawks aren't as good as their record. A field goal and the Bengals win. A full roster, the Niners win. They have scraped by. Their costume jewelry, they look shiny, but they're worthless. That's from Brent. Wow.
That's fair.
I mean, that's harsh, but some of it is fair. This one's, I'm a huge Seahawks fan. They're a 10-2 team playing with 2-10 talent. So Seahawks fans are being a little bit harsh on their own team. That's understandable. And, you know, you watch them every single week, you get frustrated.
But they shouldn't. You got to understand.
And this text says they also had Zuerlein miss the game winner against the Rams. That's another game they probably should have lost.
This is a team that, for whatever reason, is just there. And when everyone thinks they're supposed to be down, everyone on the show openly picks against the Seahawks. Like, you know, oh, the Rams are the team. The Rams are going to do it. And this year it should be the 49ers, and still it's the Seahawks. Seahawks supposed to be the worst team in the NFC West. They end up being the best team, or the second best team, every year. It's crazy.
Coming up next, it is time for Hate It or Love It.
Right.
But first, Jesse has SportsCenter. Nope. Jesse has SportsCenter? Jesse has SportsCenter?
Yeah, Jesse has SportsCenter.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Go.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
That music means it's time for Hate It or Love It. It's been a while, so there's probably a lot of stuff that's been rolling around Jesse's brain of what we could talk about. So what do you got for us on this foggy Sunday morning?
All right, well, yeah, I mean, there's some things going on in this brain. I don't know how much of it's like, you know,
how much do we want to know about?
Yeah. Right? But, I think what's going on in Carolina is actually really interesting.
We were just talking about
literally
that.
Literally just talking about that.
Yeah, fire Ron Rivera, which is, as much as I dislike Ron Rivera, like, he's actually a pretty good coach. Always has the team to play, whether the talent's good or... He's, to me, Pete Carroll light. He's not as fun on the... He's serious on the sidelines, but always has a good game plan, it seems. Anyways, it's real interesting what's going on there. Now they're talking about poaching execs from Pittsburgh. And finally, there are also rumors of the Cam train.
Trains. It's the train to Christmas Town.
Gaining a little bit of momentum on whether, you know. Now, what you've seen from Kyle Allen, he's had some moments, but really, you know, that's not your future there. Love or hate, the Carolina Panthers should not trade Cam.
No, they should trade Cam. That's going to be a hate. I think... And this is, it has not, a lot less to do with Cam Newton, although I have a feeling Cam Newton's been injured beyond being a really serviceable quarterback. The foot injury, the shoulder injury, the foot injury happened twice. The shoulder injury's happened two or three times now. I'm not sure Cam Newton's ever going to be the same quarterback that he was when he was the MVP in this league. And that was a very special quarterback. I think what the Panthers are doing is their new owner, who has been there for just 2 years now, is finally going, let me bring my guys in, right? He kept almost everybody who was there when he took over the job. He was a partial owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I almost said the Pittsburgh Penguins, like this was the NHL. Partial owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He wants to bring in some Steelers guys because those are the guys that he trusts from when he worked there. And I think they might give Kyle Allen the shot to be the quarterback moving forward. Now, I know he hasn't been a world beater necessarily, but Kyle Allen's looked really good in a lot of the games he's played. Now, he's had some clunkers too. He's not like a star quarterback or anything, but he's proven himself to be a viable starter in this league this year, I think. And Cam Newton's super expensive, and I think you're going to find a bunch of teams who'd be willing to try to take the risk on Cam Newton at a cheaper price. So trade him. Let him get some value for him while you can. Kyle Allen might be the guy next year. Maybe draft a guy and see if you can kind of train him a little bit under your new coach. I think it's a good time to reset if you're the Panthers. So,
I'm gonna love it as well. I love Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton is a talented NFL player. But I think it's time for him to have a fresh start with the new team, and I think that could be good for everybody. So long they've been under this Ron Rivera, Cam Newton regime since 2011, and it's
I also think Rivera is a good coach, by the way.
Yeah, Rivera is a very good coach. You know, Rivera, I don't believe, should have been fired. I think there's other things that they should have done in between there. You're looking at a guy who is, 76 and 63 for his career. He's been to an NFC championship game. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's been named coach of the year. He's been to the playoffs four of the 9 years that he's been there. So he's somebody that has at least shown that he knows how to win. He's shown he knows how to put together a pretty good defense, you know, and that was the thing that Carolina could really hang their hat on. Unfortunately for Carolina, they ran into a lot of injuries. They ran into a Luke Kuechly injury for a long time that kept that defense looking weird. They had some really weird injuries with some receivers and guys like Devin Funchess and some other ones that never really got a chance to really blow. But they still had Cam, and he was still able to do stuff. There's a lot to be said for a quarterback that can just fall forward and get you two or three additional yards every time they do something. There's going to be a lot of teams. I'm looking around. There's a lot of teams in the NFL in the market for a quarterback. How many of those guys want to take a gamble on a first-round, second-round quarterback who may be a project and may have to learn how to play the NFL game, as opposed to taking somebody like Cam Newton who's been an MVP of the league, somebody who's played in a Super Bowl. So I think it's a good thing for both parties to kind of part ways now. But if you're trading Cam Newton, that price tag is going to be steep.
All right. Moving on. Let's stick with the NFL. We do have a college football question here. But we'll stick with the NFL. And this one, I'm sorry, has probably a little bit of it's about the Broncos. Sorry there, buddy. Sorry. It's about the Broncos and their quarterback situation. And they just, like, what they were doing all year with Drew Lock was absolutely crazy. They put him on IR in, like, week three of the preseason when he only had, like, basically a 4 or 5 week injury. Don't take him off IR. They don't want to give him practice reps. And then they're like, well, we don't know if he's going to be a starter because we don't, you know, he's not practicing. And then they're like, oh, we'll give him half the reps and then we'll let him start. Just absolutely crazy. So then he comes out, does what he did last week, which was a great first half, nothing in the second half. But he's already thrown a touchdown on the road in Houston to rookie Noah Fant. So he's off to a good hot start. SEC, like, leader in touchdown passes thrown. Like, dude's, like, legit throwing touchdowns. Love or hate, Broncos found their future at quarterback.
Hate. Absolutely hate it. The reason the Broncos did what they did with Drew Lock, as weird as it was, is because they didn't believe Drew Lock was actually going to be good enough. John Elway drafted Drew Lock because he was like, oh, we need another quarterback just in case the Joe Flacco thing doesn't work out. So here's going to be a guy that maybe we get lucky with. No, you're not going to get lucky with. I watched Drew Lock in the preseason. He looked horrific. Last week in the second half, he looked horrific. He was great in the first half. Yeah, he looked good. Yeah, he had some good stats. He's not a terrible quarterback. He's better than Brandon Allen. But let's talk. You want to talk about better than Brandon Allen? That means you're better than, like, the third worst quarterback in the NFL. So, no, he's not your future. I think you've seen enough from him that he is a guy who is maybe a serviceable backup. He can come in. He can help out if you get a guy who's injured. He can, you know, maybe just be a guy who, for a couple of drives, if a guy's out temporarily, just doesn't have the team fall off a cliff. But from what I've seen the last few weeks, I don't think Drew Lock is anything special. And I think you do have a chance this year to find a quarterback who is special. And you have to try to take that chance if you're Denver. It actually makes me sad when I watch the Broncos win right now, because I want them to have the best chance to get the best quarterback that they can in the NFL draft. Although, as I said earlier in the show, I don't know if I believe in Justin Herbert. And you know who screams Justin Herbert? John Elway and the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, he loves them.
He loves tall, white quarterbacks who can throw the ball really far. And all those guys have
failed.
Wasn't
everyone?
Brock Osweiler. Paxton Lynch. So, I don't love it. I don't love Drew Lock. Jesse apparently does because he gave me like 1 point that entire round.
I got three.
I didn't necessarily agree
with any of the points that I gave you points for, by the way. That's my job is to try to be unbiased.
That's nice of you. I have to agree with Lynch. I hate this as well. We get caught up, in, especially in football, with a guy coming in and winning a game, and all of a sudden, is he the future? Is he the guy that we're going to move forward with? No. He's someone that you had no film on that came in and had a really good game in his first game. I can't remember the quarterback's name from the Lions who had a great game on Thanksgiving.
That was David Blough.
David Blough. And, you know, I think they're, oh, my gosh, is he going to be the one to come in and take over for Matthew Stafford? No, he's not going to be that guy, much like Drew Lock isn't going to be the guy. Now, mind you, Drew Lock could be, and I think it's just a matter of making sure you're patient with him. Do not take last week's win as gospel. You know what I'm saying? He has to be able to work through some things. That was his first start, and his first start, he threw 134 yards, had a 45.8 QBR in his first start. So that's not super great as far as, you know, a quarterback and what you want them to do. He did throw a pick, but he did throw two touchdowns. So I understand being excited for your new guy, but at the same time, understand this is a process. I think Brock Osweiler won some games too for Peyton Manning, and everybody thought that he was going to be the future. Two games later, he was benched, and we never heard from Brock Osweiler again. So it's just one of those things, man. I can't remember his name. Brock Osweiler. You know, you can't even remember his name all the way. That's how short of a stint that he had as the starter in Denver, because some guys have and some guys don't. We just have to wait and see if Drew Lock actually had it. He was a very good quarterback in Missouri, but a lot of people are really good quarterbacks in college.
I disagree. I'm just flat out just going to let you know I saw a lot of little things that I really liked that I haven't seen from quarterbacks from Denver last. It's the little things. I mean, the touchdowns were nice, but it was the little things. I'll tell you all about it later because we don't have the time right now. And then finally, Oregon will play in the playoff within the next 3 years.
Yeah, I love that. Oregon's recruiting has been top-notch. They have been getting a couple of five-star guys. They were able to get Kayvon Thibodeau, who was the number one defensive end in the country last year. They were just able to lock up Penei Sewell's brother, Noah Sewell, who is the number one outside linebacker?
I believe so.
Number one linebacker in the country. And they're in on all these top guys now, and as long as they get that talent, the gap between them and the rest of the Pac-12 will continue to grow. And it gives them a lot of room for error if they play poorly. They just will have the talent to be able to kind of come back and win those games. And if you see anything about the Pac-12 these last few years, it cannibalizes itself. But you know who didn't cannibalize this year was Oregon. Yeah, they lost to Arizona State. That was a bad loss. But they finished with one loss in the conference. They dominated Utah. They dominated USC. The only loss they had was Arizona State. So they're in a good place. I think Tyler Shuck has shown enough in the couple of times he's come in as the backup that he might not be Justin Herbert, but he's going to be a good quarterback for them. And the offensive line is graduating, which is a big deal, but you still got depth there too. That's the great thing about great recruiting is you have depth. So yes, the Oregon will make the college football playoff in the next few years.
Oregon should have made the college football playoff this year. You know, outside of a really bad loss to Arizona, I think most people expected Oregon to lose to Auburn. I certainly did, and then they came out in the first half and they were dominant and they just couldn't hang on in the second half. You're looking at a team that all of a sudden has taken kind of an SEC mentality as far as the way they recruit. We're going to recruit big guys up front to be able to move the ball. The running backs aren't going to be so much flashy, but more than that durable, and guys are going to be able to kind of punch it over and over and over again. And they're looking to slow things down. This isn't that same spread offense Oregon guys where you're going to get a bunch of kids from California that run 4.240s. Now all of a sudden you're getting that big guy from Alabama. You're getting that kid from Florida. You're getting that kid from New Jersey who just happens to be, you know, the best defensive end in the country. And he decides to go to Oregon. So yes, give it another couple of years. I fully expect them to go undefeated next year, barring something silly. I'm not sure exactly what they have coming in for their offensive line, but I know the recruits that they have had have been really impactful. So I think the Ducks will definitely make the college football playoff. Not this year, then definitely next year.
My mic is off. The only problem is that they are consistently scheduling tough now. Like, they've got a home and home with Ohio State coming up. They've got a Georgia, I think they got as well. So they're going to have some tough early season games, which could obviously put a damper on that if they do not win that game.
He doesn't get points for that, right?
No, I just, okay. I'm talking okay. And now silently watching.
You're silently watching Drew Lock tear apart this Houston secondary. That's what you're watching. You're watching him tear it apart.
Well, not so hard.
It's not a very good secondary.
It's not a very difficult thing to do.
You see that pass to the sideline on the Tim Patrick? That was awesome. The pass to Noah Fant? Oh,
I can have 200 yards against them right now.
Dude, the arm talent. How'd Tom Brady do last week, bro?
Tom Brady's 50.
Tom Brady could throw a ball farther than you ever will be able to throw a ball
right
now.
That's not
true.
I can throw a ball clear over the mountains.
Thanks, Uncle Rico.
Oh,
Jesse in there.
I mean, that was a pretty easy touchdown pass.
Does it matter? We're
not going to give him any credit
four
for anything
touchdown
he's
passes
doing
in
today.
His first two
Jesse,
weeks
Jesse,
already.
You have to realize something. The more and more that you fawn over him, the more we're just going to keep hating him for fun.
Dude, look at you know how many times Joe Flacco threw for two touchdown passes this whole season?
Like
dude,
twice.
This guy so leaps and bounds better than he is. And
Flacco's 52.
That's not saying much. All right, let's take a break. Coming up next, we'll wrap up this bad boy. This is Football Sunday on the Fan.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
So the Niners defense is struggling with Drew Brees quite a bit.
I'm struggling with the fact that I didn't know that I lost until
I didn't know
the
I won until
started.
The music played. Yeah, we kind of forgot to do that part because Jesse was fawning over himself, Drew Lock, everyone's new favorite quarterback.
My new favorite quarterback.
It's 20 to... I closed the score. It's like 2013 Saints over the Niners right now, early in the second quarter. So the Niners defense having some trouble with Drew Brees. That's interesting.
No, yeah, that's
because they played pretty well against Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, Lamar is. They got up to play for Lamar Jackson. It looks like nobody wants to look stupid, because of Lamar Jackson. It seems like he's doing a good job of making guys look really Madden 04-ish. You know, with Michael Vick playing quarterback, he looks untouchable.
Ravens are leading the Bills 10-0 for what it's worth. Not been the best game so far for Lamar Jackson. Does have 27 yards on the ground, 23 through the air, but a touchdown pass to second string tight end Nick Boyle. I was just remarking over the fact that the Niners had given up over 20 points in one quarter. That was pretty crazy, considering how good the defense
has awesome.
Been.
That's awesome. I would love to see the Niners lose today. You know, this is one of those things. My grandfather was a huge 49ers fan, and my family's from California. And so 49ers, Lakers, please believe, Rams, I've been hearing it a lot for the past little bit, man. So I need all these teams to lose so I don't have to hear anything else about
them. And you know why the NFL is great? Because the Broncos are leading the Texans 21-0. The Broncos are nowhere near as good as the Texans are, but any given Sunday, any team can win.
They got a quarterback now.
Any given Sunday.
Got a quarterback.
Any team can win.
That's all it takes, quarterback. Man.
It's there are certain teams that are always elite, right? And like, oh, yeah, okay, they'll win, right? That team will win. But Suk says this all the time, and I never really put much thought into it. It's just I thought it was something he said, but it's true. The NFL is built for teams to go 8-8. It is built for you to finish 500.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds so obvious, but when you watch it every single week and you watch as many games as you try to do, it's like it's just so apparent how the NFL makes teams. It's a grinding season. There's travel. It's injuries. There's random Thursday games. It's bad weather. And it's like, man, any team can win any single Sunday, even in games like this, like let's say the Saints were playing the Bengals right now, they would be like 14-point favorites. Well, the Bengals would still have a chance to win that game,
and that's the reason we don't see undefeated teams anymore. When was the last undefeated team we saw? It was 72. That's been kind of a long time ago.
Should have been, you guys.
Well, yeah, I mean, should have been, but I mean, hey, nobody thought the Giants would be the team to dethrone the Patriots. And like you said, it's any given Sunday. You never know.
Nothing will get a coach fired quicker in this league other than parity. Look at what happened to Ron Rivera this week. They're not even a that they're not even a good team, and they're like, we should beat this team. Oh, you lost to Washington. You're fired. Like, parity gets people fired in this league because there's so much parity.
Mike Evans, hamstring injury, out for the rest of the game. Did catch a touchdown, though, on the play that hurt his hamstring, so at least he got some points from that. All you Mike Evans fantasy owners, including Jesse in the other room, as he reacted as if his puppy died when Mike Evans got hurt.
Bad for next week. Bad for next week for the a lot of people who are trying to make it, you know, past the semifinals.
Yep. Bad. That's bad. All right. We'll be back next week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Let's Show Entire Podcast will be online if you missed any of the show. Good luck in your fantasy playoffs if you're in them. And good luck to your teams and good luck with your bets. This is The Fan.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
This one's for Pat!
Arr. All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.